You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With you this week is Hillary Goldstein. Greg Miller is here.
Scoot.
And Colin Moriarty is joining us.
Good to see you.
It's wonderful to see you.
This is maybe the most handsome GameScoop
ever
cast you can have.
Probably.
Stephanie Lee was here before. Ugh. No, thank you. Now we're back to what we need. This is the good-looking crew. I'm
disclaimer.
Kidding. Stephanie's
very
attractive.
She's very attractive. Lots of stuff to get to this week, including an interview with Mad Men and L.A. Noire's Aaron Staton.
Oh, no, that's until next week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, sneak preview of next week's Game Scoop. 1 week from today, we'll be interviewing Aaron Staton from Mad Men and L.A. Noire.
Yes.
But today, we've got lots of stuff to talk about. But first, let's give away a free game.
What, Damon?
As promised earlier in this week, I've got a few codes for an XBLA game that is not even out yet. Gatling Gears comes out next Wednesday. I have three codes to give away now.
You're blowing my mind,
I know,
Damon.
I know. And this isn't some crappy little downloadable game that the publisher's just giving away codes
for. Oh, right.
This is actually an awesome game.
It's not a PlayStation Mini?
No, it's not at all.
Oh.
Can I get this on the PlayStation Network?
I think
right.
Eventually, yes. So Gatling Gears is a top-down shooter, very much like Assault Heroes, if we remember that one on XBLA. I dare say it's even better than Assault Heroes. That's what I have to say. This is from the developers of Greed Corp, a criminally overlooked XBLA game. It takes place in the same universe.
You mean it was actually a crime? Like, the Justice Department is investigating, like, why
Bill Gates
it was overlooked?
Kicked in the door. Hey! Notice you didn't download Greed Corp! Get the goddamn call!
The investigation is ongoing. Gatling Gears comes out next Wednesday. I've got three codes to share with you. The first one reads as GYYTRQ9774-7HKM2-2RD92-RCP-CZ.
Those are some long codes. We don't give away codes that long on Beyond.
I know.
But we don't give away any codes on Beyond right now.
Oh, Sony, you suck. I'm just kidding. Just the PSN.
One of the few things I appreciate about the PlayStation Network over Xbox Live Arcade is that their codes are so short. Yep. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, two more codes coming at you later on.
Oh, you're going to pepper them throughout the thing.
But also, you have keyboard support on a PS3, so you can just type them in, which is very convenient.
I have my little thumb keyboard that I put on
that thing's terrible.
I hate that thing.
It's better than trying to use the analogs. Anyway.
That's true.
Hillary, recently IGN went shopping and bought itself a few more websites.
Yeah, there was some great deals on the Home Shopping Network. We were like, wait. We could buy one up.
Why not?
Yeah, there was, you know, we had like
this
the 15 minutes to call in
on this one.
So, yeah, we did. We bought the one ups. Mm-hmm. It came out of my bank account, so so I will need other people to float me on rent for a while. But
we're gonna pass a bucket around downstairs yeah. and pay you back while chip in a few.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we paid more for one up than whoever paid for Harmonix. $50 last December.
I don't have the specifics on how much we paid, but that is my guess.
Okay.
You outbid Colin and I at $49.
Mm-hmm. However, I do remember that, you know, we bought GameSpy, whatever it was, like 6 years ago or something like that. And it was, that was the same time that Criterion, you know, the guys who made Need for Speed, Burnout, they were for sale as well. So they were bought by EA for $50 million. We bought GameSpy and GameSpy Tech for $65 million.
Wow.
And I still maintain it would have been way more awesome if IGN were releasing Burnout every year. But we love our GameSpy guys, but I thought it was kind of interesting that like we bought GameSpy and then immediately found out that we could have actually bought Criterion for
a little minute.
And that was back when Criterion still had like they used the renderware, like people actually used like their middleware and paid for it. So I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to. I would think it would have been cool to have like that. Would have been our UK office. Would have been the Criterion, right?
Two of the biggest gaming websites come under one umbrella, and somehow we're now talking about buying Criterion.
Yes, but
it's one of my great regrets, and that's why I'm glad that we aren't gonna, you know, like that we jumped on an opportunity, so we wouldn't have this Criterion regret that I still have. That now we get like, cool, man, we got one up. I don't want to be looking back, and you, Joe, and I don't want to be looking back 6 years from now being like, man, they got bought by EA, and they're making all these awesome games. No, they got bought by us, and they're going to be making awesome games for us. That's what they do, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So we bought Yu-Gi-Oh! Entertainment, and their whole network comes along with that. Unfortunately, the only website in their network that I know of is 1UP. I don't know any of their other sites.
Their entertainment stuff. They're kind of like an Ask Men kind of thing.
Yeah, they got a lot of like aggregate sites, you know, and stuff like that.
But we got 1UP. That's what
matters. Yeah, we got 1UP for us.
We're partnering with 1UP. Our Wonder Twin powers are going
to
activate.
If you were
soon.
Listening to GameScoop, what you care about is the fact that IGN and 1UP have joined forces to rule the world.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
But what does this mean for going forward? People want to know. What is anything going to change? What's going to change?
Greg apparently has just become like a whore for 1UP now. He's always wanted to be.
He did restart his 1UP blog.
I like how everybody acts like this is like blasphemy. Yeah, you're damn right. I was a big part of the 1UP community before I got hired anywhere. And then I got hired here and I was like, all right, goodbye, everybody. I'm going to work for IGN. And now we own them, so I'm allowed to post a blog and be like, hey, everybody, come read IGN, which is what I did.
It means we have like a lot more friends.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
You know, like, who are joining us. Like, I don't think anything has really been decided. I would imagine that they're going to move into our office, which is going to be kind of cool to have, like, a bunch more editors kind of in here hanging out. And, like, now we've got IGN, GameSpy, and 1UP, which is, like, this kind of, like, crazy triumvirate. And, what does it mean, like, for IGN? I don't know. Could mean, like, great things. Like, it could, like, I think it's going to be good all around because, like, if you think about it, it's, like, 1UP, like, you know, the biggest thing that's happened to them, right, is, like, they had, like, financial issues, so they had to, like, let go of a lot of people. And,
got
like,
rid of EGM.
You know, and they got rid of EGM. Like, they were founded on the idea of, like, you know, this really loud voice in the industry that they were going to be all about opinion and personality. And at a time when, like, IGN and GameSpot were
totally
much
stale.
Less of that and very stale, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, they kind of, like, you know, one of their founding members was Ivan Sulich, who left IGN to go there. They had Dave Smith early on, who used to work at IGN. And they like just kicked it off like with just being kind of in your face, and I think they sort of helped change like certainly like the culture at IGN. Like we started becoming more like that as well, and you know like honestly like they started a podcast before us, and I know that was some of the reasoning behind starting GameScoop, right? Was the idea of like, wait, these guys are doing this and everybody loves it. We gotta kick this off too.
Before I got hired at IGN, I was listening to 1UP yours, and when I came to IGN, I was like, why aren't we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So totally.
So I think. And like so now, I think you know it's like the thing that's happened to them is that just because of the financial stuff, they lost like a lot of those people that were those voices, and you know they're like a really small editorial crew now, and like a really really small engineering crew, so they can't really get like cool improvements on the site and that kind of stuff just because they don't have the manpower. So now they're all part of our crew, so now they get to share our engineering department. So now we get to help them on that end, but then on the editorial side, it's like, you know, we can help find ways to, like, bolster 1UP and kind of, like, raise it up. It's not about, like, you know, it wouldn't make sense to just, like, buy them and shut them down or something like that.
Yeah, start putting our content on their site.
Yeah,
that's not how it works.
That's stupid. It's like, it's more like, how can GameSpy, 1UP, and IGN all work together to offer three different things that all make sense? Mm-hmm. That, like, I liken it to, not to say that we're CNN type of people, but, like, if you can think of it as, like, I will read CNN.com and I will read the Huffington Post, but I don't read them for the same reasons. Like, I both read stuff about politics, but, like, CNN is, like, kind of like more direct news. It's like a very different type of vibe than going to the Huffington Post, which is like op-ed and opinion and stuff like that from around the internet. And so,
and pics of Kim Kardashian in a bikini.
Exactly. And to me, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, like both of them serve the same audience in a lot of ways, but like I view them for very different reasons. And I kind of think that gaming on the line needs way more of that. Like, I think too many people are trying to be like IGN or GameSpot or like old magazines, really, which is what we used to try to be. And like, I want to see like how IGN and 1UP can like both, like the same reader could like them both, but get like totally different experiences and like find value in seeing them both. Like, not having like 1UP be like little IGN, because you can't. I mean, what's the point? Like, we're already IGN. Like, we don't need that. Like, so what does the community want? What does the community need? Like, that's what we want to help them find out and sort of like build that up. I think it'll be cool. And then, like, you know, to be able to have like a co-IGN 1UP like community event where it's like our two communities can meet and fight like in a back alley.
It's exciting, right? Because you figure as a fan of video game journalism, or, you know, somebody who's dialed into the industry, now you get to see cool crossover, right? Like, I would love when they move here to have Jeremy Parrish on shows like this to talk about games and give a different thing. Damon to go do a Retronauts podcast and stop in there. And then not only that, on a written side, when we do our normal second opinions, which they don't do like we do, have them chime in and see what their take is on a game. Like, it's cool to see crossover, and I mean, it's not a merge of content, but to see people pop in and over and do different things and see us all work together. It's going to be exciting.
We have a lot of stuff to figure out. This deal went down very fast.
I think we just figured it out.
Everything's good?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's all solved.
All right, then. One word I do see being thrown around a lot on the comments is Monopoly, and I don't think people understand what the word Monopoly means.
No, I was thinking the same thing when I read that yesterday.
Colin, you want to tell people what a Monopoly is?
Yeah, Monopoly is like an overwhelming force in industry where no one can possibly compete with you reasonably.
There is still GameSpot, there's still Game Informer,
there's a million other websites.
Also, there's freedom. Anybody can create any website they want.
Exactly.
So there's, like, a monopoly is, like, prohibitive. Like, a lot of times it's, like, resource-based. Like, technically, like, baseball is a monopoly, right? It's like they own all the players. They have all the bats. They have all the stadiums, like, right? Or you could say, like, you know, having, like, whatever, NBC have the TV rights for the Olympics is a monopoly. Like, nobody else can broadcast the Olympics. Like, technically, they have a monopoly on the Olympics. But, you know, we allow certain things in broadcast to happen. But, like, no, anybody who's listening right now can just go on WordPress and for free create their own gaming site. No one's stopping them, you know.
So, I don't encourage that, though. Make a My IGN page and just blog there.
The thing is that
My IGN blogs are awesome.
The G-Men are going to be here soon. The Sherman Antitrust Act. We're in a lot of trouble for buying 1UP.
So I'm sure.
Better be careful. No, it's totally ridiculous. It's not a monopoly at all. It's not even remotely a monopoly. There's, like, you know, we have at least one other major competitor and, you know, a million other websites that people read. So there's no such thing as a monopoly on the internet. That's stupid.
All right. Well, I was a little bit worried that we might have to go a full year without playing an Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, no!
The dangers of it.
But thank God Ubisoft assuaged my fears.
Assuaged, though.
I like assuaged.
Yeah, assuaged.
You're taking English to a strange corner.
I'll do that sometimes. I just noticed the roof in here, the wood up there. Anyway, Assassin's Creed Revelations is coming this November. This is supposedly going to complete the Ezio trilogy of Assassin's Creed games, which started with Assassin's Creed 2, followed by Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, now Assassin's Creed Revelations. None of these, note, are Assassin's Creed 3, which is starting to annoy me. It's starting to seem like Call of Duty.
Whatever, you're talking shit. You were all yesterday, you're like, I'm a big Assassin's Creed fan. You never played Brotherhood. You don't know Ezio.
I did
like,
start
the
playing
fans
Brotherhood.
Know Ezio. Do you know he can ride horses now? I do.
He could ride horses in
Assassin's Creed 2.
Well, I never played Assassin's Creed. I'm kidding. No, I'm excited. I like Assassin's Creed. As long as they... But here's my problem with this one, right? Is that there are a lot of rumors leading up to it that it was going to be an American Revolution. Or something drastically different. The comics were in Russia, you know what I mean? Like, it seemed like we were going somewhere different. And now, just to be Ezio again, even though he looks old and he's got a new thing on his wrist... Not that exciting. That's my problem. I'm ready to get out of the ancient Roman era kind of thing, you know?
Yes. To me, it just seems a little cheap. It's like, well, it would take a lot of resources and time and energy to make Assassin's Creed 3 and make it seem like a totally new, different game. So let's just use the same engine, the same assets, and just make a new game, a new Assassin's Creed 2, which is what they did with Brotherhood and now again with Revelations. It's like...
At least I got to have Italy. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, that's how I felt about Brotherhood. That's why I didn't play it. It's kind of like, I mean, I love, like, the very short, brief moments that you have in Rome in Assassin's Creed 2. And I was like, man, I wish this was the whole city. But at the same time, it's like, man, I kind of want, like, I like the idea of jumping into a different person each time. And so I kind of was like, eh, Brotherhood already seems cheap, even though I know people liked it. And this is just, like, more of the same. It's like, dude, like, I bought into the series of this idea. It's like, I'm jumping through, like, these different timelines and these different people that I'm supposed to be. And so why is this a third game now, where I'm a fourth game actually, because there was the PSP one as well, right?
But that was Altair. That was another
Altair. Okay,
game.
Fine. Then there was three games.
Yeah.
Still, I'm like, still this guy? I don't care how old he is or that the fact. I mean, it's an Istanbul, that's cool, but like, let's face it, did it have to be Ezio? Couldn't it have been somebody else? Like,
it's actually in Constantinople.
Or Constantinople, sorry. Whatever. I don't remember how that song goes. I want three, and I want it to be in a different time period, and then, you know, a different person.
Frankly, I
want it to be Desmond, right?
Exactly. Ready for it to be Desmond. Like, every game he's more and more, like, you know, into it and assassiny, and like, it looks like we're ready. Let's effing do it.
I know, right?
I'm ready. Hit the gas is what I say, Damon. Let the Desmond fly.
And then you realize that he's been on a nature preserve the entire time.
I know. Somebody tweeted yesterday that at the end of the series, Desmond will become Batman. That was pretty good.
I didn't get it. I saw you retweet that. I didn't get it.
He's training to be better and better, and then he'll take up the mantle of Batman.
If you actually think about it now, I don't know what happens with Desmond and Brotherhood.
Yeah.
But from the first two games, like, he could actually just still be in the basement of the same place, because he just gets in a trunk of the car and you get driven around a bunch, but you never actually see what happens, and then you kind of get out of the trunk, and then you're like in a warehouse, and I'm like, technically, they could be messing with you, and you could just be in the bottom of the building.
That's
like,
why you should play Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah? What happens to Brotherhood?
You go somewhere different.
Do you actually know you're going somewhere different? Are you outside?
Yes.
You see outside?
You can go outside at any time.
What? You can go outside at any time?
Yeah.
What?
There's nothing to happen. You run around. There's some hidden stuff out there, but...
Oh, man, now I got to play Brotherhood.
There's an ending. You should go Google or YouTube.
Wait, it has an ending?
It has an ending.
What? But then how come it's
continuing? You need to watch the ending so you're prepared for what happens when Revelations.
I do want,
because I'm playing that.
I do want to go back and play Brotherhood. I just got distracted by New Vegas, which I think I'm about to finish now.
Vegas, baby,
I just got to Hoover Dam.
Cool.
This is the end?
Yeah, you're close. You're close. I guess depending on the choices you made, but yeah, you should be close.
Do you not play Assassin's Creed? You're quiet on this.
No, I don't play Assassin's Creed. So I played the second one, and... I think we talked about this on Beyond a long time ago. In the beginning, you're walking with like some woman, and she's talking to you, but if you walk ahead of her, your body turns in a really awkward way. And your torso turns, and I'm like, I can't play this game.
I love the little things that turn people off the games.
But I did play it for a little while, and I actually hated the way the game controlled. I felt like you weren't doing enough for what you... we're doing on screen when you're climbing a building.
Oh, this was you. Okay, yeah, I remember.
I felt like you should be pressing buttons and stuff like that.
Mark
but then,
Ryan hates it too, right?
Yeah,
it's like the worst controls ever.
Yeah, I think
he
the controls
also had to do the guide, so that clouds your judgment sometimes.
Yeah, I think the control scheme was poor, just because it felt like you weren't doing anything. You know, like you're climbing up a building, and I'm like, oh, I guess I should be pressing.
But do you want to be mashing buttons, or what do you want?
Yeah,
to do
well, I just feel like when you're climbing, like I think I was just using the analog stick. Yeah, just going like this, using my move.
Oh, you know, on the NGP, you'll be like,
you'll be caressing the back of it. Yeah,
don't get me started on that.
Here's the thing about Assassin's Creed for me, is I play it and I strictly like the games a lot just for the gameplay. I like all this, the little crap there's
like
in buying
too.
Shops. But the story, I'm always like, I don't understand what's happening. Who am I chasing?
Yeah, I don't ever follow.
And then that's why Brotherhood was such a kick in the head. Like, when you get to this part, right, and like you find this thing, spoilers everybody.
You find a thing.
Ezio and Leo find this stupid thing, and it gives off these coordinates, and Ezio just turns and walks away. And Leo's like, what about the coordinates? And Ezio just goes, they're not for us. Because he knows, like, from the last game, too, he knows about, like, Desmond. Like, he knows that they're talking to someone else in the future or whatever. So he just walks away. It's like, well, why would I ever want to care about this story in Ezio's perspective again? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what's he ever doing? But I still want to go buy shops and take down the Borgia Towers.
Yeah. Well,
I was just going to say, when the rumor was that it was going to be in the American Revolution, which is like my favorite
then you
time in the ever, like where I wish I was born.
What would you climb, though?
I was thinking of
cholera.
I was thinking it would be cool to be in like Revolutionary Boston or Philadelphia, which were pretty big. I mean, not huge cities, like maybe 50 to 100,000 people. But I like, you know, I just thought it would have been a cool change of pace. Because it seemed like it was very, obviously the series is like very Italian and Renaissance and stuff like that. And like it would have been cool to move into a new.
I think actually like San Francisco in like the early 20th century or maybe like mid 20th century would be kind of cool. Because San Francisco is like a really compact city. And like it's got a lot of tall buildings, like a lot of stuff to climb. But it's like, to me, it's like some people have said New York, but I think New York actually, like the downtown, like the city is like you climb the Empire State Building. What do you do? I mean, yeah. It's just like one giant building. You can't do anything from there. But it's like San Francisco is like really compact, and there's a couple of things that kind of like are separated, like Coit Tower. But there's a lot of buildings you can get around, and it's like a cool city. And you think about the hills and sort of like what views would be like in there. Yeah. And like San Francisco was like an interesting place in its like earlier times.
I don't think I'm breaking any embargoes to this NDA, Damon, but I heard that Ubisoft had thought about putting Assassin's Creed in San Francisco, but realized it already had the perfect San Francisco game in Driver San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And it said, well, maybe later on we'll do some DLC and just put you in the Driver universe. You'll have the coma mode.
We can tease the new GameScoop tune. It's
hard at work on the Driver San Francisco GameScoop tune.
Yeah, that's good. Assassin's Creed Revelations out this November. We should see more at E3 next month.
Hey, Ezio.
Before E3, Infamous 2 comes out before E3, right?
Nope, the day of E3.
The day of E3.
Tuesday, we'll be going to see E3, and everybody else will be buying Infamous 2. No one's going to be reading the site. Just shutter it. It's over.
So we're not going to. We're just not going to review Infamous 2, right?
Oh, we'll review.
Be too busy.
Don't you worry about that.
What's our review plan for Infamous 2? What's going to happen?
Colin Moriarty's going to review it. It'll be up before the release of the game, but dates are to be decided.
Colin, if you don't like Infamous 2, will Greg disown you?
No, I think Greg will probably kill me.
No. I think I'll have a clear head on my shoulders. But I have clearly sacrificed any perspective on this game. I understand.
But you've told Colin what score to give it, right?
Of course.
Okay.
He knows exactly what to give it.
And I wrote it down on a sticky note.
We're going to 12. We're going to take it to 12 on this one.
Greg, what did you give the first game?
I gave it a 9.2.
And Colin, in your opinion, what would if you had reviewed the first game, what would you think you would have given it?
Honestly, that was my favorite game of that year, so like maybe a 9.5. I thought it was a great game.
However, keep in mind the context of when it came out. That's my only thing. I don't think I'd give it a 9.2 now. Like going back, you know, characters are stiffer, environments don't hold up as well, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just in the fact
The characters got stiffer?
No, yeah. They were stiff at the time.
Over time, like,
okay, everybody, fuck off.
that game really blew me away. I really liked that game when it came out. I beat it like you know 4 times, I think. So
yeah, you did the guide right.
Oh my God,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever beaten a game 4 times.
Because I played it for the guide, and then I played it good, evil, and on hard for all the trophies. And obviously, I remember meticulously. There's 350 blast shards you find. I remember meticulously mapping them in Photoshop for the guide and stuff like that. But you know what? You know, we were saying like, you know, Mark Ryan, for instance, does like Assassin's Creed mostly because he had to write the guides for them. And I always say that when I really like a game that I wrote a guide for, that says a lot about that game because I usually write sandbox and RPG guides. So when I liked Fallout 3 and I liked New Vegas and I liked Mass Effect 1 and 2 and I loved Infamous and stuff like that.
You're starting to name every guide you've ever done that.
Yeah, basically. Well, I've done a lot of other, you know, guides that like killed me where I like couldn't stand the game anymore.
For example?
A recent game that one of the last guys I wrote that I started to hate when I got deeper into it was Mafia 2, which I really liked in the beginning, and then by the end when I was finding all the collectibles and like this vacant.
Yeah, that's not a great game though. So.
It was I enjoyed it. I think if I played
7-0.
It, I like sandbox
games. Good for my
GM.
Yeah, I mean it's not a bad game. It's just, yeah.
But anyway, when a game doesn't kill me and I don't want to smash my head over a rock after writing the guide, that says something to me. And Infamous was like a game where I wrote the guide and then I just kept playing it. So. I just really like sandbox games, and that game really pulled me in. And it pulled me in for different reasons than it pulled Greg in, because I don't really care about superheroes. So it's like I kind of came to enjoy superheroes more by playing that game, as opposed to going into it like Greg did, already enjoying that.
Yeah, I don't dislike the first Infamous. I just don't think it's as great as you guys pulled out to be. I didn't think Cole's like character was that incredible that it required like devastation when they changed his look because I thought it kind of looks dumb.
Well, I was the only one devastated.
You're like freaked out.
Yeah,
I freaked
you
out.
You and Colin both freaked out a little bit.
Well, I think it's a dumb move to change a character in general. Like, I just don't understand. And that drastic of a change. Like, I just don't understand.
But we just talked about Assassin's Creed, and I would say that Desmond is a douche in the first game and dumb, and at least they made him, like, somewhat more likable in the second game.
But you're talking about characterization, not. I'm talking about just strictly a visual perspective. As somebody who watches movies and plays games, I don't like people being replaced in a movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
happened when Superman grew hair, long hair? What did you just say?
Again, that's a natural progression of a character. You're not talking about all of a sudden Superman was red and he had gained 30 pounds for
no
reason.
There was never a point where Superman was red and blue,
was
there?
It's like arguing in a vacuum. There's no way.
Because it's like you did read Superman when it was Superman red and Superman blue. I know you did.
I know. But again, there was progression. It made sense of what was happening.
But you hadn't even played the game. How do you know it doesn't make sense?
Oh, he got way leaner and grew hair and his entire facial structure changed. That was going to be explained? The Beast beat him up so bad at the beginning of Infamous
that 1. Is beautiful.
It starts with his normal character model and he gets punched once and he's like Supergirl gets punched in the death of Return of Superman, it goes back to purple matrix form. That's what was going to happen.
But isn't it possible that they just looked at the original design and were like, you know, I don't really like the way he looks. It's like, you know, we could fix this because it's not an actual person.
Too bad. They made a character that connected with me and other readers, and we didn't want
to. I think mostly you, and then I think you got other readers to connect with you to complain about
We were. I mean, there was a lot of people on the internet that were upset. The reason I liked
the
original...
And when people on the internet are upset, that doesn't mean that's true. Watch out.
The reason I really liked Cole, I actually really connected with him because he wasn't like some pretty boy dude. He wasn't like... He was like a dude with like kind of balding and a little short, and he was just like this normal dude that happened upon this extraordinary event. And that was what was so cool about the game. It's like he's just some guy with a girlfriend and a friend who's kind of like a loose cannon and all this stuff. And they kind of tried to hone in on a character that I think would be more aesthetically likable for people, and it didn't make any sense. It's a different person. It's a totally different person with a different voice. And so that's the other thing. I liked his gritty voice. Like, he seemed like he was angry and agitated and he didn't understand what was happening to him. He was a deep character. And they just changed all
the
that.
Gritty voice made him deep?
Yeah, because I'm saying he was gritty voice he was a deep character apart from the gritty voice, but I was saying he always was talking about like what was happening to him and how he was kind of upset and like
but it you, didn't play, you don't know that he wasn't going to do that in the game. You don't know that he wasn't going to talk about how he was upset and all that stuff. I mean, you saw like a demo reveal of the game. You barely saw anything of the character.
I didn't even see the demo. When I lost my mind, I saw the game informer cover.
Exactly. So you didn't even know half the stuff you're saying is stuff that he could have just looked different and still had all that attitude and still talked about his problems and the story could have still been as connected and as deep.
Yeah,
like, I don't think they changed the story for him.
It's a different guy. It's a different guy. It's a different model. It's a totally different dude. It's not even the same Cole. It might as well be a different character. I mean, that's what I think Greg and I were saying. It's like if there's gonna be an Infamous 2 and it's gonna be a character that is totally not Cole and doesn't look like Cole, it should have just been a new character. And they could have just tried to tie the stories together.
Well, you guys got them to change it back, didn't you?
I probably did. Yeah. I screamed and pouted enough and yelled. But I mean, I think I won't go into that. Okay. I know things, and yeah, but I mean, whatever.
So
yeah.
This is all kind of the reason why you're not reviewing Infamous 2.
Yeah, I'm way too big of a fan. Like, it means too much to me as a character, and like I wrote a whole article about it. That's what we're leading into, right?
Yeah.
About how it got me through, like when GameScoop listeners from the olden days know I used to be married, mm-hmm. and about the time I got divorced, Infamous, when we first separated, and like we knew we were getting divorced, but like I was living on my own for the first time in forever. I got my review copy of Infamous, so I played that thing nonstop, and I did this was before Colin had it for a guide, so I took digital photos of the maps off the TV screen, and then went building by building, reading them out, So I knew if I had a blast shard from there. And it was one of those things where the whole article is about how I went up and saw Infamous 2 in Seattle. We decided a long time ago. Like, as soon as I lost my mind about the Cole redesign, we knew I could not review Infamous 2. Like,
This was like last summer.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where objectivity in games is weird, right? Because I reviewed Ghostbusters, and if there's ever a Superman game, I'd imagine I'd review it too. However, this was the one time where, like, if you remember, we heard about it right before GameScoop. We went in and did a GameScoop. Then I talked about it all day. I wrote articles about it, and then I went home. And then, like, at 1 a.m, I was still ranting in bed next to my then-girlfriend. Like, I can't believe they did this. What are they thinking about? And that was, like, when it turned in my head. Like, this is weird. I don't know why I'm so connected to this one thing. And so then I went up and saw Infamous 2 the other day. And when I got there, all these memories of their office started coming back, which you don't think about it when you go, I've never thought about Sucker Punch's office since I was last there or whatever. But then it cued in my mind, like, one of the director talking to me about my wife at the time being a flight attendant. And I was like, oh man, last time I was here, I was married. And then it was like, oh man, the first time I ever played Infamous was right as all this is happening. And it totally, my whole piece is about how that world became an escape for me. And that's why I think I'm so tied into that game and why I'm so personal. I don't want to argue anymore about this and beat a dead horse, but I mean, it would be the same instance in tomorrow if I walked into the office and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was Hillary. Like, what did I just do to Hillary? You know what I mean? Like,
first of all, first, For anybody who hasn't seen pictures of our office,
he wouldn't be able to walk around
because our ceilings are so low. He would be dead in 5 minutes because we have these giant beams hanging down that almost kill Charles every day.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I just connected with that game, and that's why I got so bent out of shape about it. And, like, those characters mean a lot to me as a fan. And that was, like, the whole thing of, like, I should not be criticizing this game because clearly I don't want anyone ever to look at a review on IGN and not be able to trust it. You know what I mean? If I did review it and I gave it a 10 or if I gave it a 5, I don't want people to go, oh, he gave it a 10 because he's a big fan. Oh, he gave it a 5 because they changed what he liked. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just want people to speak for it is.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, I made the mistake when I lost my mind about it. We did a Beyond where I was like, I'm not reviewing Infamous. And I'm like, neither is Colin. And Colin's like, wait, what? And like, I totally projected all my own shit onto Colin about it, which was a very bad move. And I didn't mean to do anything like that. I just want to play this game. I just want to, you know what I mean? And like, I'm sick of.
Well, you know, when you turn 15, there's a lot of emotions going on. When you get a little older.
I think Greg did a real solid thing though by kind of recusing himself from it because, like, I've told Greg many times, I think he's perfectly capable of reviewing Infamous 2 and being. He's a perfect 10. And
when are you two getting married?
But I think he's perfectly capable of reviewing the game objectively, and I think that. Him recusing himself of reviewing it actually speaks a lot about what he wants the quality of the site and our reviews and stuff to be and people not to question them or whatever, which I think is really cool. But, you know, I think that we all have like attachments and love for a lot of series. Like, I'm in love with Mega Man and I love Resistance and stuff like that, but I can always review those games objectively. And I think sometimes maybe we get a little too wrapped up in the games and the games we love and stuff like that, and that's fine. But I totally understand where Greg's coming from with the redesign of Cole. I mean, I'm totally with him on that being a huge mistake.
I was also upset when they recast Rachel Dawes in Batman, if anyone needs to know.
Well, Greg's article is really great.
Yeah, it was. It was
listeners
awesome.
Should read it. It's called Playing Through the Pain with Infamous.
Yeah.
I know sometimes it's hard to find specific articles on IGN, so if you just do a Google search for Playing Through the Pain with Infamous, you'll find it. And we will have a review of Infamous 2 up before E3.
Yeah.
Do not expect a Super Meat Boy 2. That's not happening.
Oh, no.
No. But what will I get angry and frustrated about now?
I'm sure they're going to redesign a character soon.
Go play Mega Man. Say, go play Mega Man.
Now I'm trying to think about what character would actually upset me enough.
That's the thing. I don't know. I can't name another game. I guess like maybe if they did... I wouldn't be so personally upset. I would say if Naughty Dog redesigned Drake and made him completely look different, I'd be like, that's stupid.
The closest I've ever come at this company, honestly, was actually this week. Have we revealed all? Yeah, we're revealing all the comic book characters.
Today will be the final day.
But we've already revealed both the Flash positions. Correct?
No, we have not. But if David...
we know that Wally West is going to be in the top 20.
I guess now you do.
Well, yeah.
So
Barry Allen was like number 40-something.
49 was Barry Allen.
Right. Flash. And you, because you recorded all these video things,
yeah.
You knew that Barry Allen was like 30 lengths higher. So the Flash is my favorite
David,
character.
Can you post this after the thing goes live, like at 4 o'clock?
No, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
It's not going to go up till around 4 anyway.
All right, fine.
So
Wally West is 7 and Barry Allen is 49.
He's 7. Yeah. And so,
I think 7.
So he's like 40 more, right?
Yeah.
And first of all, I'm offended that Wally West is even on the top 100 list.
Who is Wally West?
He's the newer...
He was Kid Flash, and he was promoted to Flash when Barry Allen died.
Frankly, honestly, like, Kid Flash I like better. I would put Impulse on there, but
wow,
I was just
really?
Like, dude, over... I'm sorry, like, Wally West is just a poor imitation of Barry Allen. Like, I'm, like, a big Flash fan, and, like, to me, like, it's actually, like, I just think it's... I just think it's completely wrong to disregard. Because Barry Allen, if you're a DC Comics fan, like, let's just say he saved the DC universe in two ways. One, like, literally. Like, in the comic books, he ran himself to death to save the universe. But also, it's like, he is like the key character who basically was used to basically take what was a really crappy, shitty DC universe that was spread out onto like 80 million different alternate worlds and like united them all as one. And actually, that was when DC Comics became good. Like, and it was like his sacrifice. And for a long time, they were very pure in like keeping him. He was the one character who wasn't going to come back.
Yeah.
And then the one time that they did bring him back, it wasn't actually him coming, like, the first time when they kind of brought him back, was they didn't bring him back as, like, he's been reborn. It was actually that he kind of time traveled. And so it was him before he had actually sacrificed his life. But he goes back in time to, like, still sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
So it was, like, sort of all works itself out okay. And they kind of fucked that up more recently, but...
Of course.
But I don't know, like, he's a character that matters to me. And to, like, disrespect him like that, in my mind, like, that upset me.
Damon, I know you're trying to get this train back on the tracks away from Nerdtown. The one pin I want to put in this for my Infamous argument, all right, is the fact that they changed nothing else. They changed. They didn't change. Like, if Uncharted came out in a 2D cel-shaded world, I could sit there like Wind Waker and be like, I don't like this artwork or whatever. But I would be.
You were crazy if you didn't like the artwork.
I loved Wind Waker, but I know a lot of people were offended, right? That would be the thing. They changed one part of Infamous, like the one part you play as, the one part that's you, and didn't change anything else. And that's what really drove me crazy.
Do you think that there was a similar argument when Bewitched changed Darren's?
I bet there were people who just freaked out and wrote in. David, get the real news.
Anyway, Super Meat Boy.
No sequel for Super Meat Boy.
The two-man development team, they've always been very outspoken, and they just released a level editor for the PC version of Super Meat Boy. In the release, they say, after 6 bonus months of extra work, we are quite sick of talking about this damn game, as I'm sure you might be as well. There won't ever be a Super Meat Boy 2.
Oh. They're funny, though. I like their press releases and the humor of the game in general.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that they said they are moving right into the development of game number 2, but their name is Team Meat. It seems like that kind of limits them to like what
maybe
they're
it'll
making.
Be a meat man.
Super meat man.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway. And Colin.
Yes.
Do we need a new Mega Man X?
Yes, we do.
We do
need a new Mega Man X. So last week I got into a conversation with Rich George, who's our Nintendo editor in chief or executive editor, and he was talking about like, you know, we should write something about Mega Man X or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, I think, because, you know, ever since Mega Man 9 and 10 came out in the 8-bit aesthetic, people have been kind of assuming, including me, that Capcom would eventually have Innie Creates or another one of their studios create a 16-bit Mega Man X game. And it seemed to make sense because people really received 9 and 10 well. Obviously, people received 9 really well because 10 came out. So, I mean, that's all the evidence you really need of that. But it never came to fruition. And so I was kind of just, you know, I just kind of wrote an editorial about how Mega Man X is actually really solid. It's not obviously my favorite Mega Man series, the classic Mega Man series is, but it's the only other Mega Man series other than Legends that's really, I think, really solid. I think Battle Network and Star Force, whatever the hell those series are, they're like awful. But these
really, because I don't know if you know, but in Battle Network, you're a kid who then goes to a computer, and in the computer world, he's Mega Man.
Right.
But in the real world, he's just a kid.
Is it really a kid chameleon?
This is Battle Network.
I'm just joking around.
Because I thought it was that. I don't know.
I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah, or
that's how it works.
Like you're a dumb kid and you walk around and you're just like, oh, I'm a dumb kid, and then it's like, I'll go to my computer. And you're like, I'm Mega Man.
Yeah, EXE or whatever they call him. And he's a cool character design and stuff. But anyway, like as in terms of gameplay, like I love the solid 2D gameplay of classic Mega Man. Mega Man X somehow recaptures that on a whole new platform and in a whole new way, and it adds RPG and exploration elements, which I really think were really cool. I remember very clearly getting Mega Man X and how blown away I was by it, and that was at a time when we didn't really know what we were going to get out of new Mega Mans. It was around the time Mega Man 6 came out on NES and before Mega Man 7 came out on SNES, so that seemed like that was going to be the future of Mega Man, and then they kind of ran that series into the ground, so I want them to revisit it in a 16-bit way.
I was disappointed that the bosses in Mega Man X had different names.
Yeah, they're Mavericks instead of Robot Masters, so they don't have like the man. It's all animal based, which is
kind of cool in its own right.
Yeah, it went totally like in X6, X7, X8, like it went off the deep end, and I had no idea what any of these animals even were, and the names were.
Were there
ridiculous.
8 Mega Man X's?
Yeah, there were. It was 3 on SNES, 3 on PlayStation, 2 on PlayStation 2.
They really milked the crap out of that franchise.
Jesus.
But the first 3 are really awesome. Just like the first 6 Mega Man games on NES are really sacred, and 7 on SNES and 8 on PlayStation and Saturn, people didn't really enjoy those games as much. And the same with the latter X games. So I wanted them to just revisit the 16-bit aesthetic for Mega Man X in a new way, X9, and I think I'm pretty confident that they will, to be honest with you. But and I think Innie Creates will do it, and they're a really good studio.
A wise man once said, Colin, cow can only give so much milk.
It's true.
What do you think about that? Seems like there's been a lot of Mega Man games.
It's true.
It's true, but I think so what I always say about 8-bit Mega Man coming back in 9 and 10 being $10 is that they could easily – there would be probably a couple 100,000 people in the world at least that would buy that game every year if they just released it with new Robot Masters and new levels. Just 8-bit, they would just buy it every year, including me. And I think that, you know, Capcom realized with 9 that they kind of hit something with their fans. Capcom has really awesome old-school fans because they have a lot of great old series that they're trying to revisit. And so Mega Man X just seems like a natural progression for the series to get a new X game, especially because there hasn't been an X game in 7 years or so. So it's been dormant. So that was it.
Like Godzilla.
He comes back every so often. We're going to check in with the listeners now. Hillary, do you need to bow out? Are you going to hang around?
No, I'm going to hang around now because I know as soon as I leave, someone's going to start talking crap about me and Infamous.
You're totally justified in your opinion. I'm not mad at you for having an opinion. This is what makes us IGN.
It's true.
I'm just tired.
very quickly, because you know, there's no right or wrong to a list of the top 100 heroes because it's all opinion, right? There's not really an argument, though. I think we can all agree that Batman should be number one.
But will he? But check out IGN.com tonight.
I think we in this room would agree that we would pick Batman number one, probably, right?
Jubilee.
Batman's pretty awesome. But
Batman's pretty awesome.
Well, Greg is a Superman fan.
I mean, Connell already got shafted at 83, all right? So I'm sorry.
But I mean, and so, you know, you can't say, like, the people who picked, you know, the list for this are wrong. But, you know, in my, like, for me, like, you know.
No.
So for you, what do you feel like about The Flash? Would you put Barry Allen instead of Wally West?
I would put Barry Allen ahead of Wally West.
Yeah. I can't believe we're back.
But no, I mean, I understand where he's going with this. Yeah, yeah. Right. He's talking about his personal opinion, not about that of IGN. It was voted on by a team, and that's why the team voted. It's not like
where is Wolverine on there? I like Wolverine.
Wolverine has not been announced yet, but he will be.
He's being announced today. When this is up, it'll be up. So.
You know what else was voted on by a team? The Infamous Redesign Podcast Beyond voted that it was bad.
And then the nation agreed.
This is true. All right, go ahead. Now you can jump in.
Well, now I actually have a comics question. Is anyone going to see Thor? You guys going to see this movie?
I'm seeing Thor on Sunday, I think. Sunday,
I'm going to play the game for trophies.
Yeah, you want to come?
Yeah, give me, can you drop me an invite?
Yeah, me and Stone are going to go see it if you want to come.
It's actually getting decent reviews, I guess.
Yeah, Rich George thought it was great. Yeah. Rich George really enjoyed it. He knows comics.
Damon, if you're free Sunday night, you're welcome to come.
Okay.
Where am I looking for? Here it is. Gotta respond. This is that thing.
All right, I'm gonna read a code.
Okay, good.
Here's another Gatling Gears code while Greg checks his phone. PTXGP TMCVV P2DVR DDFPJ M3MXZ.
Jeez Louise.
I know, right?
Those are long codes, man.
Listeners, remember, you can always
reach us. But
you can
actually redeem them.
Yes.
That's also true. Well, that's one of the only things that PlayStation Network probably does better than Xbox Live is the briefer codes.
Well, I'll argue this one. Because the one thing that I like about Xbox Live is that you can input those codes on Xbox.com.
Yeah.
Log in your account. You can enter the codes in there, and then like as soon as you turn on your Xbox, it'll download. Like, I wish that there was that connectivity.
That's too easy and logical, though, for PlayStation Network. Don't be silly.
Yeah.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like John Prynne did. He's emailing us to comment on an email from last week. Colin, were you on the show last week?
Yes, I was.
We had someone sent in a photo of a bar in Sydney, Australia.
The Florodoro.
Had the Florodoro on their cocktail wall. John Prynne writes in to say, just want to let you know that I was amazed last week when a fellow listener came across the Florodoro at the City Hotel in Sydney. I was, in fact, the head barman there for 6 months, and I created that cocktail menu. And, of course, I had to include this podcast's favorite libation. I've recently returned back to England, so I no longer work there, but if anybody heads over to the hotel, they should also try the Zen Mai Tai, which was my creation.
Cool. That's a small world, man.
I know.
It's a real small world.
This is Bon Ma. He says, love you all, but this question is directed to Damon. As a DJ, musician, podcaster, all-around audio aficionado, I was wondering what your preferred set of cans are to listen to music on the go. I have a set of decent earbuds that I use right now with my iPhone, but was thinking of upgrading to a full-size set of headphones. I do not use earbuds ever. I think they're uncomfortable, and I don't think they produce a great bass response. I would recommend the name of these headphones is III, spelled AIAIAI. TMA-1. This is the model number. A little confusing.
No, keep going.
TMA-1. They're $200, but they're really sexy black. They're loud as hell, and
loud is good.
I will say that if you need earbuds, because some people don't like to walk around the streets without them.
People love earbuds.
If you go to like Best Buy, one of their end caps has like these thing called marshmallow earbuds. So they basically like they're memory foam, and so you pinch them and put them in your ear, and then they like basically form to your ear, so they actually fit really well, and it actually like blocks out more of the ambient noise from around you. So that's what I use when I walk to work.
Mm. For your headphones, can you talk into them like iPods?
My headphones?
Yeah, the ones you just talked about, the IIs.
they don't have like a microphone on them. Like, what, I'm not sure.
Like,
what you mean.
I just discovered that I use the Astro Gaming headsets, and I like them a lot. And I was watching Scott Lowe the other day, and even if you don't have the microphone piece in it, like there's the microphone in the thing, so you can talk through it. So I could be out on the phone listening to, I could be listening to music, somebody calls, I talking to it.
I see. I don't think so. They're not made for that. They're made for like DJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
You know the thing about earbuds, by the way, is that we're going to have a deafness epidemic in this country, I think, because of
them.
Well, it's just like they're so close to the eardrum when they're in your ear.
I love the music.
No, I know. I know that in college, like I played drums and I'm deaf from that as it is. But when I went to college and got my first iPod and stuff, like I got even more deaf just from blasting. Because you have to feel like you have to get it louder and louder because you can hear everything around you, like walking through Boston or whatever. So, I don't know. I for one, am going to be between drums and music.
I don't know what they do in Boston.
I just think that the world will just become louder and louder because nobody can hear each other. What's really going to happen? We'll just keep turning up the volume because when I was in college, I used to go to like a lot of ska shows and stuff. And I remember I was at this really small theater and I was standing with a girl and we were right next to the speaker. And like I totally lost like 30% hearing in one ear because we were sitting there for like 2 hours with like the noises blaring into my ear. But it was for a girl.
Yeah, no, it's worth it.
Do you like those boots?
Yeah,
oh, good for you. The one thing it shows that when I go to, because I go to quite a few live shows, is some people wear ear protection at shows or whatever, and I can't get down with that because like I need to, you know, you were at a concert when you get home at night and your ears are just ringing and you wake up in the morning you can't hear anything. That's when you know that you were at a good rock.
Did it happen today after a Dredge last night?
Oh yeah, of course. They had some hard bands opening for them too. It was great. And I was like right up front. It was nice. Yeah,
where were they playing?
Great American Music Hall. Nice small venue.
Yeah.
I would kill to see like some of my favorite bands in a venue that small, man. Yeah, of course. 311 would blow the roof off that joint, my friends. And all five people in the audience would very much enjoy it.
Now, I'm sure there are some old women that still like 311.
They have a huge following still.
I can't believe they still have a huge following. It's amazing. This is Devin Lauren. Hey, guys. Just wondering what the heck is going on with the new Ghost Recon. I loved Graw 1 and 2. Was looking forward to Future Soldier. I usually sell games on eBay when I'm done with them, but I held on to Splinter Cell Conviction, hoping that I would one day gain access to the beta for Future Soldier. Did they ever say anything about that?
That is true. I think when you buy Conviction, it says that you
really
get the beta for...
Forgotten about that.
I think, hold on to your copy of Conviction.
I'm sure that Future Soldier beta is coming up any day now.
That's funny.
We should look at the box when we get out of here and see.
I'm pretty sure that is on the box.
Wow.
I don't know anything about the beta, but I mean, Ubisoft said that they're showing Ghost Recon at E3, so.
E3.
Ooh!
This is Stanley Chu. This is a
Chew on that. Does he say that?
I don't think that's his. Chubrick is his signature. Unless he says Chubrick.
That's dumb. Yeah. Stanley Chu, for now, seriously, like, you know, if you're a professor and you just, like, you take the chalk and you're like, America, period, chew on that. You throw the chalk on and you walk out.
All right. That's good. His question is a little more serious than your being right now.
I'm sorry, Chew on that.
With the death of Osama bin Laden being recently carried out by Navy SEALs, do you guys expect to see a mission in a future Call of Duty that will simulate this event? Is this something you guys would look forward to playing?
Did they ever do it with Saddam? Was there ever Saddam?
I don't think so.
Just Castro, that one thing, right? In Black Ops.
But that was like a very lighthearted...
I know. Yeah. One day, sure. One day you're going to see everything in a game.
No.
Yeah.
That makes me very uncomfortable, like the thought of like playing through actually killing
a real
person.
I don't think that you'll ever kill Osama in like an Activision game or EA game.
That's pretty poor taste, I think.
Yeah.
Well, if six days...
There have been like plenty of missions where you're like going into a compound and you kill some radical leader,
Yes.
So that's been...
But those were opposing forces.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind seeing stuff like more realistic stuff like that. I get annoyed with like the companies that try to, like 6 days in Fallujah getting the kibosh thrown on it or whatever because it was too realistic and too soon or whatever. I want gritty, dark things. I think developers should make whatever
What's the benefit of that? Is like because people want to experience doing like killing Osama themselves? Or
I'm sure some people would. I mean, I think
I have no idea what
sick.
It was because it looked like some kind of virus. But
yeah,
my
totally
Facebook wall was
me.
Filled with look at
photos.
Many people were removed from my friends list for that. Yep.
I guess I just don't understand the mentality of like it's sick or I guess in bad taste of killing like you know Osama bin Laden or whatever. But we have this mission in Modern Warfare 2 where we go into an airport and mow people down, like, and it's like hundreds of innocent
people. You don't
people.
Have to mow people down.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, no one seems like that. That to me seems more in bad taste. I don't think anything in gaming
is
in bad taste.
Yeah, but they're not
taste,
real
but...
people. It's not like Newt Gingrich is out there and like a whole bunch of political figures are out in the airport and you're killing all of them.
Yeah, but Bin Laden's like one of the most evil people that has existed in modern times. I mean,
yes.
So killing him is awesome. You know, like I don't see how that. Like I
mean,
I understand what you're saying. If like it was a person that didn't do anything, like you're just killing someone who's real that didn't do it. But like he's the FBI's most wanted man for 10 years. You know, if there was a bounty on his head, $10 million.
I don't want to like live that or experience that myself. That makes me uncomfortable.
Well, that's fair.
Well, there'd be opt out clause in the beginning, you know, like in Modern Warfare, right?
Although maybe someday, like you know, like think back to like Wolfenstein, like. You like mow down like a robot Hitler.
Exactly.
Like, and that mean, was like, you know,
but that was that,
40
you know,
some years after.
Years
yeah,
after
like,
yeah.
So you think,
maybe in
your
in
argument
time,
is time.
Maybe.
I see.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
50 years from now, sure, I'll shoot a robot Osama bin Laden in a crazy game.
I see. Maybe. Yeah,
okay, I roll your eyes at it. When he comes through the door, we'll see who's going to
But I think, but I think the difference between Hitler and Osama is that, I mean, there are very, very, very few people in the world that don't just. Automatically upset, except you know, oh, Hitler right. has like an ultimate evil. It's sort of like the default evil, especially in all movies and stuff like that. But there's still so many sensitivities in entertainment, like creating any movies, like just even in like trying to avoid portraying like Muslims as being evil, you know, like because that's not the case, right? And so I just think like a publicly traded company like Activision or whatever, like you've seen what happened with the 6 days of Fallujah, like that wasn't even going to be. You know, as intense as this, like, I just can't see somebody wanting to take that. I think there are already games where you could do that anyway, like, you know, like that people made on their own, like mm-hmm. independent games, if you want to get that thrill or whatever you want
I just wonder where the sensitivity was when they made Dino D-Day.
Yeah.
How dare they?
I know what they're thinking.
Too soon. This is Tate Gordon. He says...
That's a good name, by the way.
I'm 16. I play Xbox consistently and love all kinds of games. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I think it means constantly.
I know.
I'm sorry you knew, but then you said, I don't know. How foolish of me to listen to my friend and try to help him out of a jam.
My 34-year-old stepdad, on the other hand, likes games but doesn't play them often due to his lack of skill. I remember that my favorite memory of ever playing video games was with him playing Mortal Kombat for the Nintendo 64. I was wondering if you have any suggestions for co-op games that a casual gamer like my stepdad and a hardcore gamer like myself would both find enjoyable that we could both play together. So, there are like lots of co-op games out there now, but for like a noob, like... Who
yeah,
hasn't like, played a game since Mortal Kombat
say,
since 64?
Like, that game would eat him alive.
I mean, Castle Crashers gets yeah. really tough, but you could play that. That'd be fun.
Castle Crashers.
What are some good the
Well, I mean,
the
like, it's like Portal 2 is out now, but can his dad, stepdad get down with that? I don't know.
I think you could. Portal 2 you could get down with, because you figure there's not that threat of things coming at you, and like, well, there are eventually, don't get me wrong, but I mean, like, it's not like a Castle Crashers where eventually you're going to have all these bosses things.
Yeah,
you
I guess you have time to, like,
sit there and you can make up a strategy and try all this different stuff.
To be full disclosure, I don't think either of us have played Portal Co-op because we both played it on PS3.
Correct. That is correct. But you can play it locally. I just haven't done
that,
it.
He shouldn't have that problem because he's playing on Xbox as well. Yeah. I was going to say, one of my favorite co-op games recently was Soldier X, but that's on PS3, and I don't know that would be an accessible game either. So I really enjoyed those games, though.
Wait for Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster, because it sounds like your dad's a freaking four-year-old, all right? Porridge is too hot. You know what, stepdad? Get out of here. I gotta play my guitar.
What are the lyrics that song is just playing?
Get out, dad. You're my stepdad.
This is Connor Woolley.
Good name, too. That's another good name. Mr. Woolley, I like that. That sounds like a sitcom.
I'm a fairly new listener, and I love the podcast. Anyway, I was listening to old episodes. I stumbled across episode 91,
oh,
in
my
which
favorite.
Charles Agnette said, quote, "It would be awesome if Nintendo integrated the DS as a Wii controller." Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that the entire premise for Project Cafe? I thought I'd share this as further proof of the awe-inspiring influence that GameScoop holds over the gaming industry.
Good job, Charles.
It's true.
That's why he keeps confirming that PC gaming's dead, and that's why there's no really good PC games anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Micah Griffin?
Yeah.
His last name is a mythological beast.
Yeah, but his first name is Micah, though. Well, so yeah. I just think of Micah and his beard.
Last week we talked about Hillary, to catch you up to speed. Last week someone wrote in to say that he lives in the UK. He's a married man with two kids. And every time he starts, he works in the public sector. He has a tradition that every time he starts a new job, he masturbates on the toilet.
At the office.
In the office.
Hillary's nodding and smiling.
Yeah, sir.
I'm going to watch all these one-up people go into our bathroom.
I can see that, of course. It's like my dog likes to pee in people's houses when he first walks inside. To let him know he owns a place.
Well, Micah writes in. He says, I'm a janitor part-time. Mr. Moriarty is exactly right. My job is to keep things looking straight. If you keep your building generally clean, I can make it look spectacular. If you crap on the toilet, all I can do is make your bathroom look reasonable. You are an adult. Cleaning your shit off the toilet is not my job. So if our friend is leaving ejaculate on the seat for my people to clean, fuck him.
Wait. So he pleasures himself and then just leaves it there?
We're not sure.
He didn't say he cleaned it up.
He didn't write in to clarify, did he?
No, he did not.
Was he ashamed
of himself, as he should be.
He said cracked one off, I believe, and it's not like he just left it there.
I was actually smiling and nodding because I got a job because somebody else had done that. So
nice.
So when I was in college, I was looking for like just a part-time job or whatever, and Tower Records used to have like a section right in the Palo Alto area. So so I applied there, and the reason why they had the opening was because the last guy had gotten hired, and they kept like a lot of like the extra magazines in the back, so they had like lots of penthouse letters and stuff like that. So he was on a break, and he went in the back, and he was pleasuring himself.
Wow.
And
tracking
this
one
really
off.
Cute, and he left the door unlocked by quote-unquote accident, and this really cute girl who works there like opened the door and caught him doing himself, and so like he actually quit. Like,
what did he
like,
say?
I think he said,
"Want to join in?"
Jesus Christ!
I'm just saying, you're going down no matter what.
Actually, according to the girl, he probably said something like, "It's really cold in here." And so her impression was that he quit. He just ran out. Like, he basically got dressed and like left.
Just left his pants there. Continued to work on his way.
But she thinks that he was actually not embarrassed about being caught, but being caught like jerking something that small. That's how she put it.
I like how the girl spun the story.
So the opening that came up was because that guy quit because he was jerking off in the toilet. And so that's how I got the job. And I would like to think that's how I got the job at IGN. What if I just got work every place that I went was because somebody else had been fired or quit because they'd been caught masturbating on the toilet?
Well, in that case, next you're going to work in the UK in the public sector, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Dan Z wants to know, whatever happened to the game Captain Blood? I thought it looked pretty incredible in a rogue warrior sort of way.
But we had a preview build of that a long time ago.
I know. I looked at Amazon says it's coming out June 7th.
Oh, right around the corner.
Sure.
It's going up head-to-head with Infamous 2.
Yes.
Who will win?
Well, I know. I think Captain Blood is a 360 exclusive. So.
Oh, there you go. Now it's really on.
Yeah. Just a couple more emails here.
And I thought Microsoft had no games this year.
Okay. This listener says, you will win the universe if you say my name right.
Okay.
Oh. Try this, Greg?
I mean, I think I'm 100 for 100.
Wait, are we going to pass this around then? Do we all get to try it?
Well, sure.
This is an easy one. Pasi Semkin.
It's kind of I got a sing-song.
Pasi Semikin.
No, I almost said.
I'm starting to sound like Pootie Tang.
Yeah, it's a little Pootie Tang.
Pasi Semekini.
So three people have three different pronunciations. It's pretty good.
Does he actually say how to pronounce his name? Like, does he spell it?
He says, I'm 99% sure you won't be able to pronounce it, so just call me Adolf.
What?
Like Adolf Vega. Yeah.
Says, I was just wondering, would it be possible for BioWare to release a Mass Effect trilogy pack for the PS3? Or the handhelds, or the Wii, even with Microsoft having the rights for the first game.
It comes on a giant like spindle for the Wii, like all these piled up.
No, it's not possible.
Yeah, Mass Effect trilogy coming to the Wii, 2012.
Main problem is that Microsoft owns the rights to 1 still, right? Mass Effect 1?
Yeah, they
published
it.
Microsoft.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're going to be like, yeah, totally put on PS3. No, it's not possible.
Finally, Carlos Martinez says, I recently read IGN's redone ratings guide, and the first thing I noticed is the redundancy of the scores. A 9.0 and a 9.5 mean the same thing, so what does a 0.5 mean? Does it mean that it's slightly more amazing? If so, how do you differentiate that as a writer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it means.
So how do you differentiate
that? It means it's more in between a 10, a 9 and a 10. Mm-hmm. It's halfway there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that complicated.
No,
to me.
No, it doesn't need to.
I get one game gets a 9.0, one game gets a 9.5. Yeah, they're
like,
both amazing.
In America, like in grade school in America, they have like you can get a B, but then you can get slightly better and get a B+.
Exactly.
It's not quite an A.
Yeah.
But it's better than a B. Mm-hmm. That's a 9.5, right?
It's true.
It's in the middle.
You nailed it. There's another game scoop helping people.
Final Gatling Gears code to give away right now. 3W63RFKMGC774MQWP4YCC2PQZ. As a reminder, these codes work worldwide.
Wow, okay.
Are you following me on Twitter? You should be. Not only can you keep up with the games I'm gaming and the music I'm making, but I give away codes on there all the time. Just like the Gatling Gears codes I've been giving away on this podcast, I give away codes for downloadable games all the time on my Twitter feed. So hit me up. My Twitter handle is DameZero, or you can always search Damon Hatfield Twitter. Remember, Damon is spelled D-A-E-M-O-N. That's all the scoops we have here this week. What do you have, Greg?
Remember, people write in all the time wanting to come visit us. Uh-huh. Now there's a program to do that. It's called First Fridays. Every first Friday of a month, we do a tour at IGN. You can get in on it.
That's this Friday.
tinyurl.com/IGN tour.
That's starting this Friday?
Yep, there's one today.
Mm, cool. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Hill. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out. Come get some. IGN
GameScoop. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.